Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. This week's guest is going to be absolutely joyful for you to listen to, not least because this is her first ever appearance on a podcast, but because this is somebody I hold very dear. I actually met her when she was working as a co-owner of a new startup business. And then over the period of time, she decided to go alone. And I've got so much time and really want you to get to know Kate. This is actually her first ever podcast appearance. So let's all be kind and welcoming in the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast community, as only you guys know how to. So this is Kate O'Shea, and she's the founder of KO Digital. And during this gorgeous interview, you'll have a very warm, open, honest dialogue with myself and Kate, where she'll tell us all about her journey from being an employee to an employer and then to being a solopreneur. How her journey as a working mum led her to do this, and what the harmony that's needed to be successful as a working parent and a business owner. But don't cancel the listening to this podcast if you're not one of those people. I think if you're a new recruiter, I think you're going to find this really interesting, because we talk a lot around this sort of methods and the structure that she went through to launch on her own. But also, if you are a working parent, I think you're going to find this really desirable. And not least, we refer to the iconic Baroness Karen Brady. And then we talk about her niche markets, because I think a lot of you'll be listening where you're having to carve out in a niche market. How has she done that successfully? And then we do talk bots. I have to tell you, we do talk bots at the end. Stick around, let me know, and like I say, show loads of support for Kate. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes, and for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am so excited to welcome to our community today somebody who is popping their podcast cherry, not been on a podcast before. And I'm really excited for you to get to know her as well as I have over the last few years. Somebody that I'm really warm to. She's brilliant. She's open. She's funny. She's dead honest and a real expert in her field. And I think we're going to learn a lot from her today. So without further ado, this is Kate O'Shea, who is the founder of KO Digital and a fellow Mancunian. Welcome to you today, Kate. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Leisha. Thanks for the nice intro as well. We're excited to take part and hopefully add value. And yeah, you know how I am. It'll only be, and I'll be frank and honest and probably brutal with the truth. Yeah, I hope that's received well.
It will be. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you on, because I think a lot of what you're going to talk about today will really resonate with a lot of our listeners, because as I explained to you before we started recording, a lot of people listening now, as you're sat there, wherever you are in the world, you might be listening as a leader, you might be listening as a business owner of, you know, 100 people, or maybe it's just you sat there on your own, or maybe you're somebody just starting your recruitment journey. I think a lot of what Kate will share today, which we're grateful to you for being so honest about, I think will really resonate with some of you. So without, you know, people making assumptions that they know your journey, they'll be clicking on LinkedIn. Tell us a little bit about your recruitment story and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I actually recruiters went into recruitment with my eyes open, exactly what I want to do, having had been close family recruitment. So I sought out a job in recruitment and just took to it really well and enjoyed it, and I've never looked back. So 15 years in now, I've worked at two companies, predominantly focused on digital marketing. So started in 2009 and very quickly pivoted over to digital marketing, specifically within pay-per-click. In the London market, and that's what I'll continue to do ever since. I've broadened out across those online marketing channels, still very much focused. Digital marketing with a bias to paid acquisition across social media, display, programmatic, and all channels that kind of go hand in hand with that.
You said something at the start of that intro that I know you said flippantly, but I just want to go back on that a little minute, because you said you were one of the few people that definitely sought out this recruitment career, and I do think that possibly puts you in a marginalized group, because I'm definitely going to be one of many that is going to be going, nope, I fell into it. But I'm so pleased when I speak to people that choose to come into our amazing industry. So that again will resonate with certain people listening. What, just go back if you can to that, Kate, of why did you seek it out? What was it about our industry that made you go, that's what I want to do? I know I'm good for it.
Yeah, people, dealing with people. So I'd had about 20 jobs at the age of 20, sales jobs, wow. phone-based. Did a trip to Australia to find myself, and I did. And then that's when I came back and sought out recruitment. But it was a bit different back then. Very much lots of like face-to-face meetings, kind of schmoozing clients. There was lots of that. But yeah, I could do that. This looks easy. Obviously, it wasn't like that at all. 2009. It was very kind of just, you know, hitting the phone and for a sort of very fast paced and quick turnarounds. And I think that's what I sort of very much enjoyed, is the high and the knowing that you can, the more you put in, the more you get out. And that is what this is about. Essentially, what it comes down to, just supposed to answer that question more specifically, is people, it's dealing with people, and it's helping people on their journeys as well. And that's been really rewarding. The thing that's kind of kept me interested and still very much enjoying recruitment. So it's not a pain, it's not something I get out of, it's something that I'm very much going to be for hopefully a long time to come.
Do you know, I'm so pleased you said that, and I wish I could package up that one statement and post it to a director that I had the displeasure to work for a very short period of time. He'd actually moved from an FD role into an MD role. I hope he's not listening, but if he is, this is about you. And I had a candidate, it was when I was already in RetroSpec and I was building out my team, and I interviewed somebody, and he gave the same, he'd already had about a year's experience, and he asked in the final interview, I'd obviously put him through all the different processes, you know, why are you in recruitment? And he said, I really love people. And I remember vividly, I really love people, I'm really interested in people, and I'm really motivated in getting them the right job. And I was just like, amazing. And my director said, what about the money? And this candidate said, I never said his name then, I can still remember his name. He was very blonde guy, beat like a bit of a surfer dude. And he just said, yeah, the money comes when you do the other bits right. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to be absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And he got rejected on that basis. And I remember sitting down with this FD after we'd rejected him, like face to face, because you still did that in those days. And we let him out of the office and said, you know, I can't believe we're not offering you, I'm so sorry. And I said, what on earth are we rejecting on that basis for? And he said, because that's not what drives recruiters. Recruiters are driven by money. And I said, I'm not driven by money. And to this day, I'm still not driven. All the things that you said, I think, we are a meritocracy. You've alluded to that. You know, what you put out, you get. What you get out, what you put in. Without a shadow of a doubt. And it's results led. And very often, actually, you don't. You might work for weeks and weeks on a process and you don't get a result. But I think that when I think about the people that I want to attract via this podcast into our community, those that are in the start of their recruitment journey, if you are purely driven by the money, when the shit hits the fan, which it has done at the start of 2024 in a recession, you're not going to last very long.
Yeah. Recruitment's too tough to be driven by money. It has to be driven by something that's more aligned with your values and what you believe. And also just to have to enjoy it as well. Because money doesn't make you happy, does it? It's not the final point. So yeah, you know, you look after your customers and the money come, but it is challenging. But yeah, you have to be driven by something deeper and more meaningful than just being driven by money. We don't still live in that age where people are rejected on that kind of answer. I mean, obviously there are directors that will be saying, you know, yes, it's great when a junior consultant comes in and says they've got 20 grand worth of debt, or, you know, they want to have a Ferrari. Great, they're going to be driven by something. But how long does that drive you for? So it's a shame that happened. But like I say, hopefully that doesn't.
I mean, the reality is that anyone that's got either children of a similar age to mine who are young adults, or anyone that is in that, you might be that demographic yourself now, the opportunity to actually be able to pay your bills, not get yourself into debt, you know, have a decent disposable income is actually something that's quite aspirational, because the cost of living is so obscene. So I think that it's actually very old fashioned to be driven purely by money these days. There are, unfortunately, Kate, there are still leaders out there that would hire on that basis. I'm sorry to say they're not necessarily partners of mine, but I think I'm really pleased that I just wanted to kind of set the scene, because to me, you're the epitome of what a good recruiter looks like. You know, it's about values, it's about doing the right thing by people, because that's why we're all doing it right. And you're obviously in a very niche market, which you've sort of, you know, you carved out, you've obviously worked for, like you say, another business. So can you just talk us through, if it's okay, what led you to launch your own business?
Yeah, so I'd spent kind of 7 years at one company where I'd kind of, you know, gone up the ladder, became a shareholder, you know, instrumental in growing the business, being part of strategy meetings, and it was great. Went back, did 4 days, still really cushy. And I've just sort of been talking with friends that were, you know, colleagues who were friends that, you know, about potentially doing it. You know, I think once you get those conversations always tend to happen, because you understand how much money you're making somebody else. Also, the fact that you can, you know, it's your desk, it's your phone, it's your chair, it's your desk, you know. So there's always those conversations. And two colleagues from the business said, look, we're going, we want you to join us. And it was just a kind of now or never. I thought, if I do it now, I might not do it. So I went, and I wasn't particularly unhappy with the business at all. It was just the opportunity was there and it felt like the right time. We set up three of us, directors, equal, you know, business, set up an office in Manchester, and sort of had grand dreams to grow our own sort of empire. And it was tough. I mean, we had some challenges at the beginning just with business. We were all working hard, doing sort of 15-hour days. We all had children. And we just sat down after a year and said, do you know what, do we want this, or do we want to go off and do our own lifestyle business? And that was the choice made. So the three of us went our own way, and it was better for all of us. And I don't regret that at all.
Good.
It wasn't an age of life whatsoever for growing that business. People are very close to, as you know, how we initially met, isn't it? So
it is.
That was 4 years ago now, three years ago. So we just went our own way, and we're all doing really well. So we've kind of had a joint website. This is going into the detail, but essentially we've all separated now. We've all got our own brand. So this is when your digital brand came in. I took the rebrand whilst on my second maternity leave year, which just means I'm a standalone now, not affiliated with anybody else. There was no cross SAP in IT Germany. It makes sense. Now for best part of 7 years, in the the previous
the time. And thank you for sharing that, because I appreciate that that's other people, two other people's story. And I think you've been, you know, very diplomatic and, you know, very kind about the way you've spoken about them. And I think, again, it doesn't often get talked about where people make decisions and then realise it's not the right decision. And how often have you, you know, if you're listening to this now, you've sat there somewhere thinking, I should have made this decision ages ago. I hear that all the time. It's almost like this regret. And I'm not encouraging people to have a rearview mirror and, you know, ponder what could have, should have, would have been. But deciding and making an important decision about you now and then in the future, you know, actually, this isn't working and it can be done perfectly reasonably, amicably, and actually be better for everybody on the other side of it. And I think the other point that I want to come on to with you is about, you know, creating a business. And very often the lifestyle title gets used in a very dismissive way. It gets used about me all the time. And actually, I'm always like, I'm dead proud to say lifestyle business, because aren't we all funding a lifestyle, whether you're a CEO of £100 million turnover or whether you're an owner manager like me turning over, I don't know, £500,000 or something, it doesn't matter. It is a lifestyle that you're choosing. And I think, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think it's such a, it's one of those sort of euphemisms and definitions that gets chucked around in the wrong way, in my opinion. Whereas yeah. we should all be flying the flag and saying, this is a lifestyle I'm choosing. And actually that lifestyle often is 15 hour days, can I just yeah. say?
I think the lifestyle business phrase seems to have some sort of slight negative connotation to it. The world that we're living in now, where women are doing it all, you know, having careers and having babies too, it is a lifestyle. It's trying to create both around each other, trying to find that time for both. So I say, I personally, it has been a lifestyle business. Okay, once you start focusing more on the business and where that's going and that's going to, what the future of the organisation is going to look like, maybe the kind of scales tip a little bit. That still means that lifestyle around work, that's never going to be taken away from it, isn't it? Yeah, for me, it was just a perfect fit. You know, I'm home for the school pickup. I'm there for the school.
Yeah.
And I'm still working really hard. So
it's not at the detriment of your clients' expectations of you. It's actually you acknowledging that you've got equal importance. And I think we often use the word balance, but I think that I've always thought that's the wrong word. It's about harmonising everything, because we don't stop being a mum or a caregiver or a dad or a whatever, a child, whatever. We don't ever stop being that person. We just have to blend it with everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. It brings its own challenges. But I think if anyone was looking to do that, because they have got a young family, I know it's a huge risk and I know there's risk around it, but anything that kind of, what did they say? Anything that's worth having takes work, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen straight away. You know, it will take time for you to find that harmonized lifestyle with you, your partner, whatever it be, your dog. You know, it is about all in, and it doesn't happen straight away. It takes time, because you go from being in a environment, I'm talking about moving on from an, you know, status, self-employed, it can be challenging to kind of bring that to a working day, bring that structure. You've not got anybody else telling you what to do, you've not got guys you need to stick to, because you can ask about them on a weekly basis, so there's a lot of kind of control and kind of monitor and be quite strict with yourself. But as I say, it doesn't happen straight away. It is something that you will find your feet.
Yeah, and I think you've covered off so many important points there, but I just want to focus on one in particular, which is the consistency and behavior that when you go on your own, whether it is to do it with a partnership or whether it's to, you know, scale a business or whether it is to create a lifestyle choice where you can, you know, do it around school runs or, you know, other caregiving requirements. I think it's really important to have consistency and, most importantly, discipline to actually do the things that you need to do to get the job done. And, you know, you're only stealing from yourself if you think that you can get away with it half-heartedly. Amelia Sordell often shares on her Instagram about, you know, you're sort of working, I don't know, a 12-hour day for an employer, and then I'm going to go and set up on my own so I can be my own boss. And then you realise it's actually 24/7. That's the reality. When you're your own boss, you never really switch off. No. You can make time, you can compartmentalize, but you never really switch off. We were both talking off camera about Baroness Karen Brady, and she was the guest speaker at the Recruitment Expo this year. If any of you that are listening now were at the London Recruitment Expo this year, then definitely comment on whether you were managed to squeeze into the auditorium, because it was literally standing room only. And she was phenomenal. She was a really, she way beyond the TV persona. She's an incredibly inspiring businesswoman. And you, I think you referred to a story, didn't you, of when she first went into the, what was it, the Birmingham City story where she walks in?
Yes, I think she said, I don't know why we're here. It always seems to pop up in my kind of realm. Always someone that respected. But yeah, it was very, very early on in her career. And she'd gone in and she was looking to the boardroom, and she'd asked, like, you know, a man behind the desk, oh, can you tell me where the boardroom is, please? And he said, oh, partners and wives, over to the right in that room. And she said, that's lovely, but I'd like to have a boardroom it. And he was so taken aback, she said. And she said from that moment onwards, that her first experience of opening a door for women, and she said from that moment onwards, that was it. She was going to continue to open women for women. Such a powerful story. Yeah.
It's a really powerful story. She took that story and took it to the next level at the Expo. And I will just finish with this because it's really very visual and I like her language. She said, maybe that was the day. So she was the new MD. She was only 23. And she said she was in a beautiful trouser, not dissimilar to what she wore actually yesterday, in a trouser suit. And she presented a very formal, you know, business plan, vision of what she was going to do with the football club. And she then, you know, finished this presentation, opened it up to the board. Has anybody got any questions? And one of them said, what are your vital statistics? And she obviously shot him down, you know, basically, you know, that's not appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. And someone came up to her at the end and said, anyone would think, you know, you may not be a woman, but you've definitely got a penis sort of thing. And she said, no, I've got a big set of balls. So she, this was when she was 23. She's now 53. She looks amazing. And she said from that day, she knew she had to open the door for women. And actually, one of the statistics that it made the whole room applaud is that by the time she finished at Birmingham City, 75% of her board were women. And I think that, you know, she's always, you know, she's got a young family, or, you know, she's always had her, you know, well, worn both hats well. But one thing that I think will really resonate with you, Kate, here, if I may share this, is I asked her a question, which I always try and put my hand up when there's a brilliant guest on the stage. And I said, you know, I'm really passionate about, you know, enabling women like you, Kate, to feel that they can have it all. But very often the pressure seems to be greater on the working mums than working dads. You know, I've had working dads on the pod, because ultimately we're the ones with the uterus. We're the ones that have to take the time off to have the children, and physically it's more demanding therefore. And I think that there's this slight bottleneck still compared to when I went off and had my eldest daughter. I don't think much has changed, and it causes a career break for a lot of women. And I think it's in all our powers to change that, where every woman feels that she's enabled to continue through her career regardless. I said, what would your advice be to the male leaders in the room, as well as the female leaders in the room, to ensure that we're all enabling women to feel that there's no barrier, regardless of whether she takes a career break or not? And she said, and this is brilliant, you need to compartmentalize your life into three boxes that all have equal importance. They're all equal size. And the first one is you. It's time for you. Because if you're not making time for you, you can't then give to the other two compartments in your life. You really can't. So make that time every day. Put block off on your, I do this now. I block off an hour every Thursday morning for an hour for power yoga. It just so happens that's the only time she does the class. And I'm like, it's 1 hour. That's my time. It's non-negotiable. Yeah. The other box is family. And that should be, you know, that's equal importance to you. That's why you're doing what you're doing for your family. And very often people listening now, you're maybe the family. Maybe it's you, maybe it's just you, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your partner, maybe it's your friends, maybe they're your family, but that is of equal importance. And then the third one is work, your career. And if you see them as three separate compartments, yes, of course you blend them, but you will then apportion your day so you're not then burning out. And I just thought it was really, it just seemed really appropriate to bring that into the conversation. I hope that's okay.
It's such a, almost when you think about it, it just seems so basic, but I think it's something oversight day in, day out. And, you know, my last 4 years, as you know, Lisa, I've shared already, the balance has tipped, far, I won't say too far, but over the last 4 years, it's been more focused on family. You know, I have had my children have, you know, grown up, but so there are going to be times where, you know, perhaps work takes more of a priority for a couple of weeks, whatever it might be. And I think that's okay as well. Obviously, for me personally, I'm sort of very much ready to take that up now, you know, compartmentalize that, you know, and make sure that actually work enough time and enough priority and I am doing family and to also me. But I think me probably much further down the pecking list. I'm really glad you've said that. I'm really gonna, that has resonated, and I'm gonna take something from that. So
if anyone is watching this on YouTube, you've just seen the light bulb go over Kate's head, quite literally. Bing. But applies to all, every person listening now. I want you to, whether it's a physical paper diary or a one on your phone or on your laptop, I want you to start thinking in that way when you're planning your day or planning your week ahead. Make sure there is time in that diary for you every single day. Now, it might not be, we have a working day of say 10 hours. You might not want to take a third of that time for yourself. We're not saying that, but you make time in the day to eat, to have a comfort break, to go and listen to a pod, to have a walk, get fresh air, whatever it might be. Go and get your nails done, go and have a massage, go and ride your bike, whatever it might be. That is as equally important as it is to have that team call with a new client, to me. Because you think about it. So I'm really pleased I brought that up with you, Kate.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Definitely. Ding. And I think, like I say, you know, it's, you might go stages of life where you do have to spend more time focus on one or other area. But I think one of my notes is be structured. And not with work, it's like with personal and with family, it's about having that structure and making sure that I'm getting harmonized, that it's all harmonized. Yeah, that's all day
what I was thinking. And worst comes to the worst, we're all going to get replaced by robots, right, Kate? How's AI impacting your world?
So, you know, I really had to do some research on this. I'm obviously old school recruiter, but I am embracing it in little chunks, tiny bit. From the research that I've done and from the people that I'm speaking to, I mean, I work in digital, so, you know, loads of my clients have been doing that in 12 to 18 months and it's flying. I've not physically embraced it yet in the sense that I've brought in any tools. I did get told about one the other day that I am going to go, which is called Firefly. So no, not any affiliation. I'm not getting paid for this. But it takes notes for you. And I just thought that would be very useful. Because you're taking a brief from a client and the more detail you get, the better. Sometimes you miss details. If you like me, you've got terrible copy writing, you can't read it back. And obviously the way that they pitch you is the way that you want to translate to the candidate, you know, But yeah, I really like the idea of that. Take the job brief, print it out for you, you know, and you can send it on. And then obviously you can call and then you use that, you use you, and this is what AI can't do, is you're using your own, you know, say spin on it, but you put your persuasion, you put your sales hat on while doing it. So, but I really like that. I think, as I say, from what I've read, because it is more just about kind of reading, I've not raised anything yet. It will help us with the back end stuff. It will help us with those more manual tasks. So like sifting through hundreds of CVs, which I personally don't do because I think I'm quite niche. So I know how much value this will give me personally, just because of the way that but I do think eventually perhaps there will be tools I can leverage in order to save on that kind of reading processes, and then obviously you still use that human interaction to then kind of build those relationships. Without that, recruitment's nothing. But again, it comes back to
Absolutely. I mean, obviously for the Recruiter Recruitment Podcast, I do interview a lot of people who are the experts in AI and automation. And when I go to events like the Recruitment Expo, and I would say that actually you're probably the typical user, you know, you're an adopter of what is going to be valuable to you. You and I are very similar. And, you know, if there's any other perm recruiters listening, I don't do any outreach, I don't do eShop, so I'm not going to need to use it for any of those things. But, you know, the menial inverted commas, things like on the database, of course it can populate. We're already using that, right? But when you think about if you've got a problem with booking a holiday or the bank or, you know, your utilities aren't working, who do you want to go through a chatbot or do you want to actually speak to a person? And I think it's simply that is why I think a good recruiter will never be replaced by AI. What will you'll probably get replaced by is a human using the AI, because you're probably just a bit slow to the party. I think it depends on your market. But like you, I mean, I call myself traditional rather than old school. It's just a nuance. But I think, you know, if you're slow to adapt and you're not using anything, then it's very possible you might get caught behind. However, as a human race, we're all going to get sucked up in it anyway. But I don't think at any point any proper recruiter listening now should worry. I think if your job as a recruiter and you're listening and your whole process is being automated, I really think you need to change sector, and you will get replaced effectively. You will absolutely get outsourced to an AI. But if you're actually influencing all the things that Kate said, you know, if you're speaking to clients, you're engaging with your candidates, and you're, you know, selling, which is ultimately what we do, right? Then you won't get replaced, because no AI is going to be able to do it. And actually, I went to an event last week, so the middle of March, and one of the CEOs of an AI company to the recruitment industry, and he verbatim said, AI will never replace the human interaction and influence of a recruiter. And that was out of his mouth.
Yeah.
So you don't need to worry, Kate.
People buy from people. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of like people who are just kind of using it as a bit of, using that. It's like, oh, great. But, you know, I'm speaking to people. Like, that's what people want. Like,
I would say shop around like Kate clearly has done. I'm glad you've used this as an opportunity to go and do that. There are some amazing, amazing companies out there that are, you know, innovating. There's things like MetaView, there's Phantom, there's, you've mentioned there, Firefly. There are so many products and services out there. So my advice to you now, whether you're a leader listening or you're a standalone like Kate, go and do your research. Think about what you actually need to outsource. How will it integrate into your day-to-day job? And definitely shop around, because there'll be some great deals out there. Obviously, a shout out to our sponsor, Pager, who are an AI marketing service themselves. So if you want to get no more, make sure you mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, because you will get a little cheeky discount. But Kate, that has been a brilliant podcast. How was it for you, your first ever performance on the podcast?
Good. Let's go again. And we can talk.
Let's go
more.
Again.
I think we could talk to the cows come home, couldn't we?
Well, we know we can, so we're probably best not, because I'm sure no one else wants to listen to all that. But no, you have been brilliant, and despite the technical challenges that we had at the start, when, if you're watching this back on YouTube, Kate is not sat down a tunnel. She had to switch to her phone, because for some reason the video just wouldn't work on a laptop. So if anyone knows the reason why, send us a postcard answer, please. Thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know Keybridge IT. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialise in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.